This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله. All praise and thanks to Allah the Exalted, who has given us another opportunity to learn about His names, to learn about His most beautiful, most excellent names and attributes. Because remember that there is a huge difference between people who know Allah and people who do not know Allah. To know Allah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, to know His attributes, is to worship Him, is to love Him. And it is also to know and understand oneself. Our understanding of ourselves, our understandings of ourselves in this life, you know, our journey through this life, our experiences, our facing, you know, different trials, tests in this life, is not possible without knowing why we are here, without knowing who has created us and who is the one who is providing us and who is the one who sent us here and who is the one that we have to return to. So to learn the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to essentially to learn about oneself. Because when you learn about who Allah is, you understand what you're supposed to be doing. You understand why, whatever is happening is actually happening to you and also in this life. So learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually something essential for our hearts, for our iman, for our, you know, mental, spiritual well-being. So alhamdulillah, this is truly a gift from Allah that we're getting this opportunity to learn the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous classes, alhamdulillah, we've covered several names of Allah, and today inshallah we will begin with the names Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar. Now the names of Allah, Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar, both of them are similar, and Al-Qahir occurs 2 times in the Quran, and the name of Allah, Al-Qahhar, occurs 6 times in the Quran. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, that He is the subjugator over His servants. He is the one who subjugates His slaves. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, ayah number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, say that Allah is the one who has created everything. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ, and He is the one, الْقَهَّارُ, He is the subjugator. Meaning, He is the one whom the creation cannot resist. They cannot escape. They cannot do without. So the names of Allah, Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar, both of them are derived from the verb qahr or qahara. And qahara, yaqharu, qahrun, basically gives us 3 connotations. And what are these connotations? The first connotation is that qahr gives the meaning of as-saytara and ghalaba, which is basically to dominate over something, to overcome, to conquer, to subdue, to subject something. Secondly, qahr also gives the meaning of ulu, meaning to have superiority over something or someone. Meaning, if one has qahr over someone, it means that they're superior to another in terms of power, in terms of force, etc. And thirdly, qahr also gives the meaning of al-akhd min fawq, meaning to seize from above, meaning to have full control, authority over someone and to seize them from above so they cannot escape at all. So this is why the word qahr is also understood as to oppress someone. Because when someone is oppressing another, it means that the other has no way to, you know, save themselves, to defend themselves, or to get away. And this is why in the Quran we're told, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ, same root, that as for the orphan, then do not oppress him by, for example, taking his property, etc. So qahir is the one who overcomes, the one who conquers, the one who subdues. And qahar gives the same meaning, but in a more intensive sense. Because qahar, remember, this is fa'al, meaning it's the strongest noun that is available in the Arabic language. So it signifies intensity, and it also signifies great number. So qahir, qahar, these are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qahir, al-qahar, what does that mean with regard to Allah Azza wa Jal? It means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute, complete and total qahr, meaning dominance over his servants. And even though the creatures are so many and the creatures are so different and all over the world and beyond this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete power over them. He has complete dominance over them, which means that no one can escape him. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single creature. He knows exactly where every creature is. He knows exactly what every creature is doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full authority over every creature as well. So no creature can escape Allah, neither in knowledge nor by getting away. In Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. That even the weight, you know, something the weight of an atom, something so tiny, it cannot escape Allah. Yani it cannot be too distant from Allah, in the sense that it cannot be out of sight. It cannot get away. It cannot slip away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is something so tiny, whether it is in the sky or it is somewhere in the earth, وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, even something smaller than the weight of an atom, وَلَا أَكْبَرَ, even something greater than the weight of an atom. Meaning there is nothing that exists that can escape Allah, because Allah has full qahr, full dominance over it. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, ayah number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. That say that Allah is the creator of everything, and He is al-wahid, the one, al-qahhar, the one who prevails, the one who has absolute dominance over His creation. So this means that everything is directly subjected to Allah's power and will. This means that the existence of the creation depends on who? It depends entirely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that وَكَذَلِكَ الْقَهَارُ مِنْ أَوْصَافِهِ, that qahar is from his attributes, and then he mentions that لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ حَيًّا عَزِيزًا قَادِرًا مَا كَانَ مِنْ قَهْرٍ وَلَا سُلْطَانِ. That if there was no hay, no being who is ever living, who is mighty, who is all powerful, then there would be nothing to rule over. In the sense that the fact that there is existence, that there is creation, it means that there is a creator who is subjugating them, who has created them, and who has complete knowledge of them, who has complete dominance over them. So first of all, with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these names mean that Allah has full dominance over His creation. So this means that his creation depends on him. He knows them, and he takes care of them, and he has full control and authority over them and all of their affairs. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, this means that he is the one who prevails with his command, meaning he is the one who executes his will. Whatever that he wants to do, he is able to do it, and no one can resist his command. No one can get away from his decree. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 18, Allah says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي, that he is the subjugator above his slaves, meaning whatever that he wants to do with his slaves, whatever that he decrees, he is able to execute his command. He is غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. Imam al-Tabari writes that this means that he is the one who prevails over everything. So he decrees whatever he wishes for whatever he wishes. So he gives life to his creation when he wants, and he gives death when he wants. So nothing at all can overpower him. He is such that nothing can defeat him, nothing can overpower him, nothing can prevail over him. When he decides to do something, then there is nothing that can prevent him. And along with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahhar, such that لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He is not going to be asked about what he does. It is the creation that will be asked about what they do. No one can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to what he does or he decrees. And this is not just because who can dare to question him? And even if they were to question him, then what could they do, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute authority. He has absolute power over his creation. But also because whatever that he decides, whatever that he does, whatever that he decrees is with his mercy, his knowledge, his wisdom. He is Arhamur Rahimeen. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. He is Ahkamul Hakimeen. So why would he be questioned about what he does? So he is Qahhar, meaning he carries out his will, and no one can dare to question him, and no one has any reason to question him. So he is the one who absolutely prevails. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, it means that he has absolute and complete superiority over his creation, meaning the entire creation is below him. So this means that there is nothing like him, nothing at all. He has Uluw Al-Qahar Al-Kulli Al-Mutlaq, meaning complete and absolute superiority over his creation. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 18, we learn, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي, that he is a subjugator over his slaves. So this means that there is no one like him, right? And everyone is below him. Sheikh Al-Sa'di writes that every creature is such that above it is another creature, right? So for example, if you think about it in terms of people, you know, people have power, but over them there are those who have greater power, right? And over them, you know, are those who have greater power. You can see this in any organization, in any group of people. You can see this in any community, even a family, right? There are those who have, you know, greater power over others. And this is not just in terms of power, but also in terms of strength. For example, physical strength, right? So there is no creature except that above it is another creature, right? Who is more powerful, more strong than it. But above all is who? Al-Qahir. Above all is who? Al-Qahhar. And there is no one that is like him. This is why the attribute of Qahr goes hand in hand with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his tawheed. And this is why we see in the Quran that every time the name Al-Qahhar is mentioned, it is actually mentioned with Al-Wahid, the one. Because if there was another one, another being who was like Allah, then he would not be Qahhar, right? Why? Because Qahhar is who? The one who is above everyone, who has subjugated everyone, who has ulu over everyone. Then fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar, this means that that everyone is submissive before him, okay? Meaning, even if someone rebels and someone is disobedient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still prevails over them. So we see, for example, how Fir'aun tried to rebel, and so many people tried to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happened to them? Every single one of them was defeated, right? So the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over everyone. So those who rebel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes them, He punishes them. And even if, you know, someone is given some time in this life to do what they want, they have some freedom, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to die. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who prevails over everyone. So He is the one who khada'at lahu riqab. He is the one whom before whom all necks are lowered, are submissive, meaning everyone is powerless before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahhar, this also means that He is the subduer of false arguments. Meaning when people come up with false arguments and excuses to associate partners with Allah, or to not worship Allah, or to not believe in Him, etc., then all such arguments and excuses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defeated them. How? By showing and revealing irrefutable proofs. He has revealed ayat in the Quran, and he has also created ayat in His creation that completely refute the false arguments of such people. So He is the subduer of false arguments. Then number six, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahhar, it also means that He is the disposer of His creatures as He pleases. And He can do with His creatures whatsoever that He wants. Sometimes the creatures are in agreement, they're okay, they willingly comply. And there are those times when the creatures do not willingly comply, but still they have no option, right? Because He is the disposer of His creatures as He pleases, with their will and also against their will. As we learn in the Quran, وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. And to Him has surrendered whoever that is in the skies and whoever that is in the earth, willingly and by compulsion. So, for example, a person does not want to die, but when the moment of death comes, even if they resist, even if they're unhappy, even if they don't want to, they have to leave this world. A person does not want to be in a certain situation, but if that is the will of Allah, then whether a person cries or a person whines or a person happily accepts, then regardless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will regarding that person prevails. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahhar, the one who prevails and is never prevailed over. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not compelled us to worship Him or obey Him, in the sense that He has not forced us. He has given us free will, but that doesn't mean that He does not have power over us. He has power over us, and He can force us to believe if He wants. As we learn in the Quran, in several places, for example, in Surah Yunus, ayah number 99, that وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. That if your Lord wanted, all of them, who are on the earth would have believed. Every single one, every single person would have believed if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can force people to do that. But He has given them free will. Why? As a test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Right? So while we have the freedom to choose, while we have the freedom to do what we want, we should not get deceived by it. We should not be deluded by it. Why? Because first of all, we see that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free will, He shows us that He is the one who is in control. We are not the ones who are in control. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in complete control. So for example, you have a headache, you take a Tylenol, you take pain medication, the pain doesn't go away. Do you have control over it? You don't. You think you have, but you actually don't. So when it comes to, for example, our own bodies even, we don't have control over them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that we should fall ill, that we should face a certain trial, there is no avoiding it. There is no getting away from it. And this is very clearly illustrated in Surah Al-An'am verses 17 and 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. That if Allah were to touch you with some harm, then there is no one that can remove it except Allah. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches you with some good, meaning He gives you a little bit of good, then He is able to do all things. The next verse says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. And He is the subjugator over His slaves. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is the wise, the ever acquainted, fully aware. So, we might feel that we have control over, our lives. We are able to do whatever that we want. But in these lives of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us over and over again that you're not completely free. You are not your own master. You are actually a slave who belongs to Al-Qahir Al-Qahar. Then we see that even if we have free will over here, we know that no human can live on in this world forever, right? Every single person dies. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. Indeed, you are going to die. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, right? Death is called al-yaqeen, certainty. Why? Because it is the most certain fact of our lives, that we are going to die. And when death comes, then that's it. A person has no control, no freedom. Nothing whatsoever. And this also is illustrated in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 61-62, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. That He is the subjugator over His slaves. وَيُرُسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends on you guardian angels. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتَ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ. Until when the time of death comes, our messengers, meaning the angels, they take the soul, right? And they do not fall short in their duty at all. And then, ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. And then people are returned to their true mawla, to their true God or protector or owner, right? أَلَا لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. So, even though we have, some freedom over here, this freedom is not going to last forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us by giving us death, by making us witness death, by making us experience death, that we are not our own masters, that we are not free. There is someone else who has full authority over us, and that is Allah Al-Qahir Al-Qahar. And then remember, the day of judgment is also coming. And that is the day when everyone will be subdued before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. everyone. So in Surah Ghafir, ayah 16, we learn, يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. That is the day when all people will be exposed and nothing of theirs will be hidden from Allah. And it will be said, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To whom does sovereignty belong to this day? And it will be said, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. It only belongs to Allah, the one, Al-Qahhar, the subjugator. Yani, there is no person, you know, who can say, well, I'm the king. No, your kingdom is gone. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. Right? Your power, your status, all of that is irrelevant on the Day of Judgment. In Surah Ibrahim, ayah 48, we learn, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. That is the day when the earth will be completely changed, and the skies also. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. And all of them, meaning all people, will appear before Allah, who is Al-Wahid, the One, Al-Qahhar, the subjugator of His creatures. So no one can, you know, no one has authority that day. All authority, all power belongs to Allah, the Exalted, on that day. So Allah is Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar. Now, we see that the name Al-Qahhar, as I mentioned earlier, it occurs in the Quran 6 times, and every single time it comes with the name Al-Wahid, right? Al-Wahid. And the reason, as I mentioned earlier, is because Al-Qahhar is the one who has absolute authority, complete control over everyone else, right? Is the creation. So if he is Al-Qahhar, that means that he must be one. He must be single. Why? Because if there was another one like him, then that would cancel out his being Qahhar, right? Because if there is another one like him, that means that he doesn't have authority over everyone. So we see that this is actually an evidence of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that he is Al-Qahhar means that he is one. In Surah Yusuf, ayah 39, we learn that Yusuf alayhi salam, he asked the two men who were in the prison with him that, يَا صَاحِبَيِ السِّجْنِ أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. Are multiple gods, different gods, better? Any gods with, you know, with different and limited abilities, right? Are they better? أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. Or is Allah better, who is Al-Wahid, the one, Al-Qahhar, the subjugator of all? Meaning the one who has all power. When you believe in multiple gods, you're saying that, you know, one God has one power and not another. And another God has another power and not a different one. Right? Divided gods. Divided, you know, objects of worship. Right? What does that mean? That they're imperfect. They don't have absolute power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, which means that He has absolute power, absolute control, absolute authority, and everything and everyone is under Him, controlled by Him, right? And below Him. We also learn in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His oneness, and He says, لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَاصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to take a child, He would have chosen from His creation whatever that He wanted. Subhanahu, glory be to Him, who Allahu al-Wahidul Qahhar. That's not possible because He is Allah, He is one, He is the subjugator of all, so there is no one like Him. And then in Surah Sad, ayah 65, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنْزِرٌ. That say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am only a warner. You make it clear to people that my job is to just warn you. And who is supposed to be worshipped? وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And who is Allah al-Wahid, the one, al-Qahhar, the subjugator of all. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Qahir, al-Qahhar, what are we supposed to do? Right? Because remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about Himself, then this has a direct impact on us. And if we are His creatures, if we are his slaves, his worshipers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has certain attributes, then what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to worship him? What changes are we supposed to bring within ourselves? What befits us and what does not befit us? So first of all, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir, Al-Qahhar, this means that we should believe that everything is subdued before Allah. We should believe with conviction that there is nothing that is mightier, that is more powerful, that is more knowledgeable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing at all. He is the one who has full power, complete authority, absolute control over every creature, no matter how mighty that creature may be, no matter how strong it may be, no matter how powerful it may be, no matter how knowledgeable someone may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is absolute. No matter how powerful one may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful. He is Al-Qahir, he is Al-Qahhar. So this means that our greatest fear should be of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should fear him the most. We should love him the most. We should be in awe of him the most. We should have expectations of him the most. And we should strive to please him the most. Because if we were to please people by displeasing our Lord, then that would be such a loss. Because certain people might be happy with us today, but then tomorrow what's going to happen? When those people are going to lose all their power and we will be standing before Allah Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. So believe that everything is powerless before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that we should give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most importance in our lives. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahhar, then what should we do? We should accept the qahr of Allah. Meaning, do not resist the commands of Allah. Do not try to get away from the decree of Allah. There is no running away from Allah. There is no getting away from Him. There is no escaping Him. The only way of success of salvation is to surrender to Allah, because there is no place of safety, there is no escape from Allah except to Allah. There is no safety except with Allah. So no matter how difficult something may be, accept it, right? That, Ya Allah, you have commanded this. Yes, I find it hard, but I accept it. Because if we don't accept it now, there is no running away. We have to return to Allah. We have to stand before Him. We have to, we are going to be questioned by Him. So accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dominance, His authority over us. And you accept the fact that Allah is the master, we are the slaves. That Allah is the one who commands and we are the ones who obey. Allah is the one who decrees, and we are the ones who surrender, we submit. So there's absolutely no use in trying to run away from Allah. So you see, sometimes what happens is that a person, has this feeling of guilt in their heart that, I should pray properly, right? Or, there is that feeling in the heart that I'm not speaking appropriately, right? Or that I'm not dressed appropriately. I should not be here. I should not be watching this. I should not be listening to this. And a person tries to ignore that voice. Don't ignore it. Because who are you trying to ignore then? You are basically trying to live your life as if Allah is not there. Astaghfirullah. And the thing is that we could try to forget about all of these things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enumerated, He has recorded all of our deeds. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. They forgot all their deeds, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it all enumerated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had all of their deeds recorded. So accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qahr, His decree, His commands, and surrender to Him. Accept your weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept your dependency on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And surrender to Him willingly, happily surrender to Him, because we have no other choice. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, it means that we should humble ourselves before Allah. That is what befits us, right? That Allah is the one who has complete authority over us, right? He has complete rule over us, and we are the ones who surrender before Him. So we should show that humility. Don't just say that, yeah, I know, or that I believe in that, but express it. Express your humility before Allah. How? By praying salah, by making rukur, by making sajda, by making dua, by crying before Allah, by, you know, expressing your needs before Allah, by admitting your mistakes, by apologizing, by seeking forgiveness, by turning back to Him, by remembering Him, right? Through all of these ways, what are we doing? We are showing that we are humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, it means that we should not commit oppression, right? Why? Because if we, you know, have the power to oppress someone, we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us. And it doesn't befit us to compel people, to force people, or to try to dominate them and abuse them and take advantage of them. It doesn't befit us at all. Because this is tyranny, right? And this is arrogance, and this is foolishness, because we know where we are, compelling people to do something which is not right, then we're basically forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above us. So we are told in the Quran, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan, do not oppress him. You see, an orphan is who? A child, right? A child whose father is not there to defend him, to advocate for him, to provide for him. So an orphan is very easy to abuse, to exploit, to neglect, to take advantage of. So even if you are in a position where you have so much power and another person before you is completely powerless, even in a situation like that, do not commit oppression. Do not take advantage, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, then we should not get deceived by, you know, the freedom of free will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, because it is temporary, right? We learned that Fir'aun, he was truly deceived by the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, right? And he said, Fir'aun said that we will kill the boys of Bani Israel, and we will keep their women alive. And he said, "Wa inna fawqahum qahirun," that we are subjugators over Bani Israel. We have full power over them. We have complete authority over them. We can do whatever we want, and they cannot resist. They cannot run away. This is what Fir'aun thought, right? And this is why he committed the oppression that he committed. But then what happened eventually? He drowned, right? His entire civilization crumbled, finished. So we should remember that whatever authority, power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whether it is over our children or people who work under us in any capacity, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some kind of superiority over others, then that superiority is temporary and it is a test for us. So let us not get deceived by it. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qahir Al-Qahar, how is it that we can call upon Him? Because remember, we are told in the Quran that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that to Allah belong the most excellent names. So call upon Allah by those names. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those names. And remember that when it comes to making dua to Allah by His names, this doesn't just mean that you say a certain name of Allah 100,000 times, because this is what, you know, typically people think, that, you know, you have a problem and you mention the name of Allah, Al-Latif, for example, 100,000 times, 50,000 times, right? This is what we think dua is, okay? Calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names, remember, dua is of different kinds, okay? One type of dua is dua ul-ibadah, meaning to worship Allah, right, through those names. And how would that be? That given the meanings and implications of a certain name, we bring about the necessary changes in our lives. So for example, we just discussed that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who subjugates his creatures, then what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be humble before him. We are supposed to believe that he is the greatest. We are supposed to accept, you know, his commands and decrees, right? These are the necessary changes that we bring in our lives. But then there is another type of dua, which is dua ul-mas'ala, which is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask him for something, right? And while you're asking him, you mention the names, right? And why? Because those names are related to, to the matter that you are asking him about. Okay, so for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, right? The one who opens, matters that are closed upon his servants, right? Or something that is closed on you, something that you find difficult. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Fattah, that Allahumma ftahli abwab rahmatik, right? That, oh Allah, open for me the gates of your mercy, the doors of your mercy, right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qahar, al-qahir, how can we make dua to him? What kind of dua can we make that incorporates this name? And remember that, dua ul-mas'ala, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his names, that is also of two kinds. Okay, one is that you're literally asking for something. Okay, so for example, oh Allah, open up for me the doors of your mercy. Oh Allah, grant me knowledge, right? Oh Allah, you are al-Wahhab. You are the one who bestows, gifts upon his slaves. So you bestow, your mercy on me, et cetera, et cetera. But then there is another way, which is that you simply glorify and praise Allah, right, by mentioning his name. Okay, so for example, when you're in ruku', you are humbling yourself before Allah. You say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. You mention the name al-Azim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, right? You are humbling yourself and you are mentioning the greatness of Allah. You're praising him by mentioning his greatness. When you are in sajda, you have completely lowered yourself, brought yourself down. You say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. My Lord is the highest, right? Al-A'la is one of the names of Allah. So you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you glorify him by mentioning his names, right? So when it comes to the name Al-Qahir, Al-Qahar, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam glorified Allah, right? Praised Allah by mentioning the name Al-Qahar. When did he do that? Especially, we learn in a hadith, this is reported in Al-Hakim, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke in the night, right? And especially, the word that is used signifies waking up in the night because of thirst. Okay, and he turned his side, and this is something that happens when you're thirsty, when you're tired, you're hungry, you're worried, then you're constantly tossing and turning in the night, right? Your sleep is kind of restless, and you're kind of half awake, sometimes fully awake. So in a situation like this, okay, he would say, La ilaha illallahu al-wahid al-qahhar. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما العزيز الغفار. And this means, لا إله إلا الله الواحد القهار. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, who is Al-Wahid, the one, Al-Qahhar, the victorious or the subjugator of his slaves, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, Lord of the skies and the earth and all that is between them, الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارِ, He is the mighty, the forgiving. So notice how, in the night, when the Prophet ﷺ turned his side while sleeping, and he said this, he glorified Allah by taking this name, Al-Qahhar. Because if you think about it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow us to sleep, right, we cannot sleep. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decides that there should be certain, challenges that we're facing in our lives that are keeping us awake in the night, then again, we have no choice, right? So mention the name Al-Qahhar in your dua when you feel defeated, when you feel powerless, right? When you feel weak, when you find yourself incapable of doing, that which is beyond your capacity. Because yes, we are weak, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has complete power. We might be unable to do certain things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ala kulli shay'in qadir. So the one who believes in Al-Qahhar, the one who trusts in Al-Qahhar, the one who receives the help of Al-Qahhar, then such a person is not weak. Then such a person is not defeated. And so we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these beautiful names, Al-Qahir and Al-Qahhar. Now the next name that we will be looking at today, inshallah, is the name Al-Barr. The name of Allah, Al-Barr, occurs once in the Quran. Only one time. In Surah At-Tur, ayah number 28, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, regarding the people of paradise, that as they will be talking amongst themselves, they will say, Inna kunna min qablu nad'uhu, innahu huwa al-barrur rahim. That indeed, we used to call upon him before. Indeed, he is al-barr, al-rahim. He is the ever-kind, the ever-merciful. So al-barr occurs once in the Quran, and the name Al-Barr, this is ism fa'il, so it gives the meaning of one who is attributed with birr. Okay, Al-Barr is the one who is attributed with al-birr. Now, what is al-birr? Birr has several connotations in the Arabic language. The first connotation of this word is birr is goodness and kindness. Okay, it gives the meaning of التوسع في فعل الخير, vastness in the doing of good things. So basically, birr refers to every form of charity, every form of kindness, every form of generosity. So it includes, for example, goodness towards one's parents, goodness towards one's relatives, forgiving people, being charitable, etc. Secondly, the word bir also means truthfulness, okay? Being truthful. It gives the sense of a sidq, okay? So for example, it is said, barrat yaminu. Yamin is oath. Barrat meaning it was true, okay? Meaning he took an oath and then it was fulfilled. Thirdly, the word bir also gives the meaning of the goodness of this world and of the hereafter. So bir includes all good, whether it is in this life or it is in the hereafter. So who is al-barr? Al-barr is the one who is very good, who is very kind, who is very generous, who is very truthful, right? The source of goodness, the one who is always doing good to his creatures. So with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-barr gives a sense of, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the attribute of birr, and his actions are also good. So he is good in and of himself, and he does what is good. His actions are also all good. So with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Al-Barr means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. He is truly good and kind. And remember that this is a name that befits only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The feminine form of the word Barr is Barra. Okay? And we learn in hadith that, you know, there was a woman whose name was Barra, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed her name to Zainab. And he said, do not declare yourselves to be pure, because Allah knows best those of you who are obedient. So Barr is a name that befits only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the only one who is perfectly good. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly good, it means that he is kathirul ihsan. He is continuously and abundantly good to his slaves. And everything in existence benefits from his goodness, from his kindness, from his generosity. His kindness, his generosity is such that it benefits all the creatures, all the inhabitants of the earth, and all the inhabitants of the skies in every single moment, in obvious ways and also in ways that are hidden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Barr, he is merciful, he is generous, and his favors are never ending. We learn in Surah Luqman, ayah 20, that وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا, that he has amply bestowed upon you his favors, both manifest and hidden. And there's many blessings that you see and many blessings that you don't even see, you don't even know about. In Surah Ibrahim, ayah 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ, he has given you everything that you've asked for. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, and if you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to enumerate them. You would fail to do so. You wouldn't be able to count the number of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, because there are so many. And literally, if we were to spend our entire lives just counting the blessings, just identifying the favors of Allah, we wouldn't be able to. Why? Because every single moment of our existence, we are benefiting not just from one blessing, but with numerous blessings. And every second of our existence, we are benefiting from numerous blessings of Allah, uncountable blessings of Allah. And the realization that we are benefiting from the favors of Allah, that is also a blessing of Allah. So how could we possibly count the favors of Allah? It would be impossible for us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-barr, it means that he is also especially kind to his servants. One is that he is constantly, abundantly, giving good to them. But it also means that he is especially kind to his servants, meaning that he wants the best for them. And he doesn't just provide us with, you know, material blessings. He actually wants ease for us. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons our sins, right? وَيَعْفُ عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ, he pardons sins and mistakes. When we do something wrong, he does not punish us immediately, right? We wrong ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reforms our condition. Right, he, despite our sins and disobedience, he does not seize his favors upon us, right? And then he wants good for us, right? When we are grateful, then that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for us, not because our gratitude benefits him, but because our gratitude benefits us. When we are grateful to Allah, this is something that benefits us. And when we are ungrateful, then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like for us. Why? Because our ingratitude harms us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good to his servants, not just in the sense that he provides for them, that he created them and he has given them so many things, but also because he wants good for his creatures. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just create us and leave us over here to wander and to fend for ourselves. No, He sent prophets. He sent guidance. He created us upon fitrah, right? He equipped us with hearing, with vision, with hearts, with intellect. Why? So that we can see, we can listen, we can observe, we can reflect, we can learn, right? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, His special generosity towards His creatures. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar, it also means that He is as-sadiq, meaning He is truthful in His promises. Whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised His slaves, whether it is a promise of reward or a warning of punishment, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed of, then that is true. It is going to be fulfilled. It is going to come true. So in Surah At-Tur, ayah 25 to 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding the people of paradise that وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. They will turn to each other, asking each other. They will talk amongst themselves. And قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ. Some of them will say that we used to be fearful among our people. That in worldly life, among our families, among our people, we were fearful. Why were they fearful? One meaning of this is that they were fearful of displeasing Allah. They were still afraid of Allah, even though they were at home in the comfort, of their families. And another interpretation of this is that they lived in constant fear. Why? Because it wasn't okay. It wasn't acceptable to the people around them that they should worship Allah. So if they would worship Allah, then they would be oppressed. So they lived in fear. So they will say in paradise, فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. So Allah conferred favor upon us, وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. And He protected us from the punishment of the scorching fire. Because that is truly the greatest punishment, the greatest torture, the greatest difficulty. So Allah delivered us from that. That is the greatest favor. Inna kunna min qablu nad'uhu. Indeed, we used to supplicate Him before. We used to call upon Him in the world. We used to make dua to Him. That Ya Allah protect us from the fire. That Ya Allah deliver us from this hardship. So inna kunna min qablu nad'uhu. Innahu huwa al-barr al-rahim. Indeed, it is He who is al-barr, who is the kind, who is truthful in His promises, and He is Ar-Rahim, the Merciful. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Bar, it means that He is true in His promises. And the people of paradise will say this. They will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi sadaqana wa'adahu. All praise to Allah who was true in His promise to us. Number five, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Bar, it means that He is especially kind to those who do bir. Meaning those who do good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is especially good to them. How? That He rewards them generously. He multiplies their rewards, right? And this is why people in paradise will say that Allah is al-bar. He is so kind. He is ever kind. His reward is ever so generous. And really, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous in His rewards. And there are times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen above others. There are places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen above others. And if you were to do something good in those places or in those times, the reward is multiplied so many times more, right? And there are easy good deeds. You say subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times, right? So much reward. You say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times. And then you say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. After salah, you say this, all your sins are forgiven. Even if they are, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, like the foam on of the sea. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to, first of all, believe that Allah is truly very, very kind and very, very good to His creation. Unfortunately, we think more about the difficulties and problems and the trials, which are actually a result of our own wrongdoing. They're meant to be a wake-up call. They're meant to be moments that should humble us. But we But we talk about those things as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not good. Astaghfirullah. We should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever even thinking that Allah is not good to His servants. Allah is al-bar, very, very good to His servants. If we were to count the blessings of Allah, we would not be able to count them. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of His creatures. We are in need of Allah. Yet Allah is good to us, even though He doesn't benefit from, you know, being good to us and from our gratitude, etc. It doesn't affect Him because Allah is al-ghani. Yet He is good to us. So this is something that we must believe in. You know, we disobey Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals us. If He wanted, He could have exposed us, but He doesn't. Right? He gives us time. He gives us chances. So Allah is truly very good, very kind to His slaves, and we must believe in that. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar, He is good, He does good, then He also likes us to do good, which is why in the Quran we are told to do birr. Right? لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 177. So many different types of good deeds are mentioned over there. Then especially goodness, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-birru husnul khuluq, that bir is good character, good demeanor, right? That is what we need to show. Bir at times require that we give, right? As we learn in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You can never attain al-bir until you spend out of what you love. And Qatada said this means that you can never attain بِرَّ رَبِّكُمْ the bir of your Lord. Meaning if you want the good reward of al-bar, then you better spend out of what you love. If you want Jannah, then you have to spend out of what you love. You have to give of yourself. And sometimes giving doesn't just mean giving tangible things. It means giving a smile, right? Giving a good assumption, right? Not passing judgment, being tolerant, being forgiving, you know, pardoning other people. And the best of those who deserve our, you know, the most, the people who deserve our good treatment the most are who? Our parents. So we learn about Yahya alayhi salam, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ He was very kind, very good towards his parents, both his mother and father. Isa alayhi salam, we learn about him, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي That good to my mother, right? So goodness towards people in general, but specifically parents. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar, this means that we should be truthful and we should also be generous. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, when he heard the ayah that you can never attain the good reward until you spend out of what you love, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said that this is what Allah says, and out of all my property, what I love the most is this garden of mine. And that garden was right across the masjid, prime real estate, right? And he said that I give it in the way of Allah. So he gave of what he loved. And remember that the reward of doing good is immediate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people who do good immediately in this life and also in the next life. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ That indeed, the people who do bir, they are in na'im. They are in bliss. And this bliss they experience in this life, and they will experience in the next life in its absolute perfection. Finally, how can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name, al-bar? By believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-bar, He loves goodness, then we should strive to do good. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to do good. So there are two du'as that I want to share with you. The first du'a is the du'a which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say when we're traveling, when we're going on a journey. That after saying, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Then we say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. That, O Allah, we ask you in this journey of ours for al-birr. Ya Allah, give us al-birr in this journey. What is birr? Goodness. That give me the ability to do good on this journey of mine. Wa taqwa and also piety, that I stay away from sins. Wa min al-amali ma tarda and the ability to do good, to do those deeds which are pleasing to you. And then secondly, One of the supplications that the Prophet ﷺ would make, this is reported in Al-Hakim, that Allahumma inni as'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaima maghfiratik wa salamata min kulli ism wal ghanimata min kulli bir. And this means that, oh Allah, I ask you for that which brings about your mercy and that which brings about your forgiveness. And I ask you to protect me from every sin, and I ask you to benefit me with every good deed. And he said, give me the ability to do good so that I may benefit. Because the one who does good is the one who benefits from that goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His favors. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.